tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
This Friday, there will be in excess $800 million loss in our economy. $800 million loss. And it is due to paraquesavidecatrophobia. And I probably butchered that, but it is an impossibly hard word to say. And you might be saying, what in the world is this? Well, I just want to tell you, before I tell you what it is, I just want to tell you how much this impacts America. 21 million people, it's 8% of the population in America, is so impacted by this phobia that literally they will stay home from work this Friday and it will impact our economy. Well, what is this phobia, you may ask? Well, it is the fear of Friday the 13th. Literally, 21 million Americans are afraid of Friday the 13th. Now, we need to ask some questions about this. Why are people afraid of Friday the 13th? If you do a little bit of research into history, no one is really sure why Friday the 13th is supposed to be scary or unlucky. If you look at the number 13, for decades and literally centuries, the number 13 has been considered unlucky. In fact, 80% of all high-rise buildings in America today do not have a 13th floor because they believe the number 13 is unlucky. But the question is, why? Why is 13 considered to be unlucky? Well, it comes to a couple theories. No one actually knows for sure. No one knows the reason why, but there's a couple theories out there. One of them is that an ancient code, an ancient document, a legal document called the Code of Hammurabi, I mispronounced that, but you get the point. There were 12 laws, 12 codes in that, and they skipped over the 13th to go on to the next document. And some people think because they skipped over 13, it was because 13 was unlucky, and so it developed this tradition. But if you look back at history, it actually wasn't intentionally skipped over. It was a clerical error, and it was just a mistake. No one in that day and age had a fear of 13. Other people have said the reason that people fear 13th is because Judas, who was one of Jesus' 12 disciples, the theory is that Judas was the 13th person to enter the room on Jesus' Last Supper. Now, that's absolutely ridiculous. We don't know the order in which Jesus' disciples walked in at the Last Supper. We have no idea if Judas was the 13th person or the first person. We have no idea. But that was where this kind of idea, the 13 is really unlucky. And so let me put this in perspective. There are people who are afraid of the number 13, and no one knows the reason why. There's just some theories. Friday has also been considered unlucky in a lot of cultures, and actually historically in America. And Friday being unlucky, no one knows the real reason why Friday is unlucky. It comes back to some theories. One of those theories also comes from a misunderstanding of the Bible. The theory back in colonial days was that Friday was unlucky because Friday was the day that Adam and Eve were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Now, no one knows this. The Bible doesn't say that. In fact, days of the week weren't even given back in that time period when Adam and Eve were kicked out. But literally, that was the theory, that Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden on Friday, so Fridays were unlucky. And in colonial times in America, they were so afraid of Friday that they actually had these sayings. It was old wives' tales that they would tell one another. They would pass on from generation to generation. And one of those was, do not change your bed sheets on a Friday, or you will welcome bad dreams. That was a literal thought. Don't change your bed sheets. Another idea was never start a vacation on a Friday. That if you start a vacation on a Friday, you are inviting chaos into your life. And so people wouldn't start vacations on a Friday, which I just find is absolutely ridiculous. There was a theory, there was an idea that you should never set sail on a Friday. In fact, to this day, a lot of cruises will avoid Fridays because of this understanding that if you go out on sea on a boat on a Friday, it's considered to be bad luck, that you're actually welcoming harm into your life. That is preposterous. That is just ridiculous. And yet we can't judge people that are afraid of Friday or 13th, and you put those two together. We can't judge people that have this fear. We can't judge someone who stays at home at work, and the reason we can't judge them is because every single one of us in the room today has an irrational fear. You may not be afraid of Friday. You may not be afraid of the 13th. You may not be afraid of Friday the 13th, but there is something in your life. There is a fear in your life that is actually stopping you from doing what God wants you to do. It's an irrational fear. In the series we're kicking off today, it is hashtag No Fear October. And I want to tell you who this series is for. This series is for anyone who would be honest with themselves to admit that they have an irrational fear. If you're not one to admit it, if you think that you fear nothing By the way, if you fear nothing, you scare me. People that have no fears, they're very scary to be around. But if you would be honest with yourself and say, you know what, I do have some fears, and they're not rational fears. They're not real fears. They are irrational. And an irrational fear is you are afraid of something that can't actually harm you, but yet it causes the same degree of fear as if you were going to be harmed. And if you were honest with yourself and you could say, yeah, I do have some irrational fears, this series is for you. And over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about the source of fear. We're going to talk about how to overcome fear. And we're going to talk about God's place in your life and how God helps us actually cast out fear. Our scripture for today comes from a guy by the name of John. And John was one of Jesus' best friends. In fact, the other disciples said that John was the disciple with whom Jesus loved. I think there was actually some jealousy because they saw how close John was to Jesus, and so they kind of tagged this on him. It was a kind of a nickname, and I don't think it was favorable. I don't think they were like, hey, that's Jesus' BFF. We're happy for him. I think they were a little jealous of John. I can't prove that. It's just my theory in the way that it is said, that he is the disciple with whom Jesus loved. And so when you read John's letters in the New Testament, the theme of all of his letters comes back to love. John is the one that gives us one of the most famous verses in all of Scripture. For God so, what, the world? Love the world. That we get that from John. And why did John harp on love? Because he was the disciple with whom Jesus loved. And so at Next Level, we stand to our feet to show honor to the text. And I want to invite you to stand to your feet. Would you read with me? This is 1 John 4:18. This is our text for today. Read it nice and loud on the count of three. One, two, three. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Now that we've read the text, I want to invite you to pray. And if you're new to the church scene, if you don't know how to pray, I would invite you to pray a simple prayer. God, would you speak to my heart? And would you give me the courage to do whatever you tell me to do? But you can put it in your own words. You can say, you know what you need, and you know what you need to hear from God. So would you spend just a few moments talking to God before we dive in to our text? Would you guys pray? God, we just invite you into our hearts and to our minds. We invite you to speak. And we ask, God, that you would remove the distractions from our life, God. Some of us carry with us heavy hearts, God. We're carrying a lot. There's a lot of burdens in our lives. And God, would you just ask just for a few seconds, God, we just ask that you would just still our hearts, that you would calm our fears. You'd help us to be attuned to what you want to say. Help us to be attentive. Help us to have our eyes open. God, help us to hear exactly what you want us to hear. And God, would you give us the courage to obey you no matter how hard it is? God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be accepted in your sight. Oh Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The number one command in all of Scripture, that is the Scripture that is given to us the most out of the entire Bible, is the command to fear not. Some translations say, do not fear. It is given to us 365 times. That means that for every day of the year, there is a different command that tells us, do not fear. Now, when I first heard that and learned that, it was shocking to me because I thought there would be other commands that would be more prominent than fear. But literally, the number one command in all of Scripture is fear not or do not be afraid. And yet, overcoming our fears is not that easy, is it? Like if you're afraid of something and someone walks up to you and says, well, just don't be afraid. You're not like, oh, okay, thank you so much. I'm no longer afraid of that. I appreciate you giving me that command. Like that command alone doesn't actually help us overcome our fears. We have some deep-seated, ingrained fears. We have some things inside of us that we are afraid of. And I want to get to the psychology behind fear because in order to really get the most out of this series, you need to understand where fear comes from. Here is the definition of fear. Fear is an emotion caused by a belief of looming potential loss. Fear is an emotion. It's caused by a belief of looming or potential loss. Now, why is this important to us? Well, it's important to us because everything that you fear, it comes down to a thought that you're about to lose something. In our brains, the way that our brains work is God actually gave us the emotion of fear so that we respond appropriately to things that are literally going to cause danger to us. So when you feel like your life is going to be lost, you fear and you react and you say, I don't want to lose my life, and you react appropriately. If you did not have the emotion of fear, you would just walk across Mercury Boulevard without looking both ways. Fear is a God-given emotion that allows an alarm in our brain, literally an alarm in our brain goes off and says, this is scary, you're about to lose something, react. But what did our scripture say? I want to break it down. It started off by saying there is no fear in love. So this emotion that God gave us, fear, the scripture is not telling us don't be afraid of anything, because it's okay to be afraid of some things. There are some things you need to be afraid of. There are some things you need to say, oh, that's not safe. Let me lock my doors. Let me protect myself. I don't want to have no fear in my life. I just want to fear things that deserve fear. The problem is that for so many of us, this alarm that says, hey, something is causing you harm, something's going to be lost, that alarm is broken in our brains. And what happens is that every single one of us has something in our life that we're afraid to lose, and we've now become afraid of losing it so much that we've developed an irrational fear. An irrational fear is the fear that I'm going to lose something that I'm not really going to lose. This thing in my life, I'm so deathly afraid to do it, but it really can't harm me. It's not going to take anything from me, but I am deathly afraid of it. Did you know in America today, the number one fear in America is public speaking? Public speaking. Somewhere down the list of fears is death. Okay, that means that people would rather be in the casket at a funeral than giving the eulogy at the funeral. Literally, people are more scared to speak in public than to die. Let that sink in for a second. Why? Because we have these irrational fears. If you speak in public, are you going to die? No. Are you going to just like fall over a heart attack? No. Like you could, every single one of you could get up right now and you could speak in public, but there is a fear inside of us that says, oh, I don't want to do that. I may lose something. What will you lose? Well, people may know that I'm not good at speaking in public. People may know that I don't have all the answers. People may see me stumble. It is a fear of loss. And behind every single fear in your life is this idea of I don't want to lose something. Fear is an emotion caused by a belief of looming or potential loss. And here's the thing. Fear is such a hidden emotion in our lives that we oftentimes don't even know the things that we're afraid of. If I were just to ask you, are you a fearful person? Most of you would say, no, I'm not a fearful person. Like, there's some things I don't like. I don't want to be around a bunch of snakes, or, you know, maybe I'm afraid of heights. But overall, most of us would say, I'm not a fearful person. But there are fears, deep-seated fears inside of us that are really hard to track. But when you understand the definition of fear, that fear isn't just about saying, boo, ah, I'm scared. Fear is actually about this thought of I'm going to lose something. Thank you for laughing, Mike. I appreciate that. 8 a.m. needs a laugh track or something to help on the screen. It's okay to laugh. Fear is this idea of I'm going to lose something. And so it is hard to understand the things that we fear, but what we can see is the natural reactions to fear. There are three responses to fear, and every single one of us naturally responds to fear in one of these three ways. If you're taking notes, I would encourage you to write this down, because this is going to give you insight into your life. You may not feel like you're afraid, but you will see the way that you react to fear. You react to fear in one of three ways. Either fight, freeze, or flight. Every single one of us, when it comes to a fear in our life, we either fight, we freeze, or we flight. Every single one of us. So the natural reaction when you get scared is either to fight, I'm going to fight you. It's to freeze, I can't move. I'm so scared, I'm just paralyzed. Or it's to flight, to run away. Now, I don't like to be scared, but I like to laugh at people who are scared. It's really funny. And I want to show you some pictures because I want you to really wrap your mind around this idea of fighting, flighting, or freezing. And I want to show you some images, some funny images, and I want you just to shout out if the people or the main person in this picture is either fighting, is freezing, or flighting. Okay, so I want to show you an image and just shout out what you think this group of people is. They've just got scared. What do you think they are? Are they fighting, freezing, or flighting? Freeze, right? They are frozen in fear. Her hair is literally frozen in fear. That's an amazing reaction. All right, let's look at another picture. Just shout it out. Flight, right? He's taken off. I'm out of here. I'm so scared. I'm running. Leave the women behind and the children. I'm out of here. All right, we got one more. Fight, right? His natural reaction is to fight. Now, in the haunted house, the person's probably behind a screen. He can't actually fight him. It's his natural response to put up his dukes. I'm just going to punch someone. I don't know who I'm going to punch. I'm just going to hit someone because I'm afraid. Now, in your life, you respond to fear in the exact same ways. You are either a fighter, you're a freezer, or you're a flighter. Now, so often, we're not attuned to what causes us our fears. But in your life, do you tend to fight for control? In your life, do you flee away from your problems? In your life, do you just freeze and say, I just hope it solves itself? You see, behind every single one of your problems is some deep-seated fear. It's a fear of something. And the scripture is very clear to us that God is love, and love casts out fear. The problem is that fear is a real belief. It's a belief that you will lose something. And so people become control freaks because they are afraid of losing, literally, control. Something is off in your brain, and so when you don't have control over other people, an alarm goes off and says, this is scary, let me control this situation, let me step in. They're not going to do it right. And if they don't do it right, it brings fear into my life. So let me over-control. That's your response to fear. And right now, you would think to yourself, oh, I'm not a fearful person, but are you a controlling person? Because the root of control is fear. Are you a person that has a lot of unsolved problems in your life? Are there just like some issues and you say, yeah, I know one day I'll get to doing that. I'm just so scared. I know what I need to do. I need to go see the doctor for that. But I can't. I can't bring myself to do that. Why? Because you freeze. And your natural response to problems in your life and to stress in your life is just to freeze. I don't want to deal with it. I just hope it'll go away on its own. I don't want to hear the bad news. I can't handle that in my life. Or are you a flighter? When it comes to your relationships, when there is turmoil, when there's tension in the relationship, when things aren't going good, is your natural response to say, this is hard, I'm out of here. See you later. I don't want to deal with that. That fleet inside of you is actually a fear. And you may not think that it's a fear, but it is an ingrained fear inside of you. Behind every irrational fear is a lie. It's a lie that the enemy has given us to hold on to. And we often don't even see these things as fear. We just think, these are my natural responses. I want to ask you some questions that are based around this idea that fear causes us to either fight, freeze, or flee. Here's some questions. They're rhetorical. Please don't shout out the answer, but I would encourage you to write them down and to wrestle with them this week. What has fear kept you from doing? What has fear kept you from doing? Is there a dream in your life that you say, one day I'll pursue that? I would really love to do this, but is there something in your life that you think, man, you know, I really think God has this plan for me, but I just want to kind of put it off. What has fear kept you from doing? What has fear kept you from doing? What has fear caused you to avoid? What has fear caused you to avoid? Are there some conversations that you need to have, but you're just so afraid? I don't like conflict. I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want to say this. It may cause them to not like me. All of those are based off an irrational fear. What does fear cause you to avoid? Do you need to go see the doctor? Do you need to go see a counselor or a psychologist? Are you avoiding these things? Because I don't want someone to think that there's something wrong with me. You're afraid. Last question, what has fear caused you to do? Because fear is an emotion, it causes us to do something. And we oftentimes react and we don't think that it's fear. But if you are a fighter and fear is inside of your life, you need to look at what are the relationships in your life. Are you constantly fighting people when you don't get your way? Are you constantly tearing down others? I don't like that you just did that. I'm just going to let you have it. Wherever there is a lot of fight in your life, it is rooted in a deep-seated fear. And what does the scripture tell us? Let's keep reading. It says, but perfect love drives out fear. I want to park here just for a second and let that sink in. Perfect love drives out fear. Every single one of us has some irrational fear in our life. And the answer is perfect love. It literally drives out fear. You cannot have in your life high levels of love and high levels of fear. You don't have to be a Christian. You don't have to like the Bible to understand this. This is a true universal principle that where there are low levels of love, there are high levels of fear. When there's low levels of fear, it means there's high levels of love. Perfect love drives out fear. Why? I love that John gives us an answer to this. Why? Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. So ultimately, think about the definition of fear. Ultimately, we fear something because we're afraid of loss. And so what do in our lives? Whenever there's a fear of loss in our minds, we seek to punish someone who is going to cause us to lose something. So if you can't pinpoint the fears in your life, what I want you to do is I want you to pinpoint what are the ways that you try to punish the other people in your life. When you don't get your way, when you don't like something, how do you punish someone? That punishment is rooted in fear. So when someone upsets you, do you say, oh, I'm just going to give them the silent treatment? What are you doing? You're freezing in fear. It's the ultimate thought of, I just can't express these emotions. It's too scary to tell them what I actually think. So I'm going to punish them by being silent, freezing. Or do you just fight? When you don't get your way, it's just like, oh, I'm going to show them. They hurt me. They didn't do it my way. They caused me some type of harm. I'm afraid I'm going to lose something, so let me just let them have it. I'm just going to fight. Or do you flee? Whenever there's a difficult situation in your life, do you punish other people by saying, peace out. I'm done. Don't cross me. Don't say it the wrong way. Don't hurt me. You will never see me again. I will leave this relationship. Think of the ways that you punish other people naturally. Your natural response to punishing someone else is rooted in fear. And what did the scripture say? But perfect love, it drives out fear. Fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Fear is an incredibly dangerous path, as the great theologian Yoda once said. Fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering. Fear. It is a path to the dark side. And the problem is that we often just think that fear has to do with the boogeyman or with haunted houses or being scared of something big, and we don't understand just how much control fear has actually in our lives. The very decisions that you make on a day-to-day basis, are they rooted in love or are they rooted in fear? When you don't get your way, do you think, okay, love is the answer to this, or do you think, oh, I've got to fight to get what I want? John writes that fear has to do with punishment. Instead of thinking about whether you were afraid or not, you need to think about the ways that you punish other people. Now, here's the issue with all of this. John tells us that the answer for all of this is a perfect love. And the problem is so often we go to people to find a perfect love, and no human being can give us a perfect love. Every human being has some deep-seated fears in them. Every human being is broken. And so when you go to another human to try to find some love for your fears, they're going to let you down. And so John doesn't say go to other people for this love. He says go to God. Why? Because God is the only one that offers a perfect love. Now we need to wrestle with this because fear is so deep-seated, embedded in our hearts. Oftentimes we are afraid of God. And the reason that you can't overcome your fears is because the answer to overcoming your fears is the very thing that you're afraid of. Think about this. In your relationship with God, when God doesn't do something that you want, do you fight Him on it? When life doesn't go your way, do you say, God, you must not know what you're talking about. I don't like you. I'm mad at you. Do you fight God? What is that rooted in? It is rooted in fear, a fear that you don't think that God has your best interest in mind. Or when you don't get your way, how do you respond to God? When you don't get your way, do you freeze? Do you just say, I can't pray? I just can't even. I don't know how to handle this. I'm just gonna freeze. Hopefully this problem will go away. Hopefully it'll just leave. But I'm so scared. I don't even know what to do. Do you freeze? Or do you flight? When it comes to your relationship with God, when life doesn't go your way, do you say, God, you didn't give me what I wanted, so I'm out of here. I'll teach you a lesson, God. How dare you not give me everything that I want, God? I'm going to run away from you. That'll teach you, God. And so often, we treat God with an arm's length. And the answer is to literally allow the perfect love of God into your heart and into your life. And when you allow God to get close to you, it literally casts out fear. Why is this? Well, because God is the only thing big enough to scare fear. And if you think about this, if you were to have something like a pet lion, you hopefully would have a healthy fear of the pet lion, right? You would understand that that lion could eat you at any second. You wouldn't just think, like, I can just treat this lion however I want. You would have a healthy respect of the lion. But if it was your pet lion, and you can watch YouTube videos of this, people with pet lions, they're crazy. There's something wrong with them. But people with pet lions, that you watch them, they snuggle with it, they wrap themselves up in their arms, they put their hand in its mouth, and they have no fear of the lion. Why? Because they consider it that the animal loves them. And when it comes to God, we need to have a healthy understanding, a healthy fear, a healthy respect of God to understand, yeah, God could zap us. God could just get ticked off and say, I'm done with you. But we need to understand that God doesn't do that. What does God do? God loves us. And some of you, you say you understand that, but by the way that you have fear in your life, you don't truly believe it. Because perfect love casts out fear. And anywhere in your life where there is fear, it is showing that you have not allowed God to love that very area of your life. And maybe you're not allowing God to love that area of your life because you're afraid to let go of control. Or maybe you're afraid because you don't really trust God, that God is good. Or maybe you've never allowed God to love you. God loves you desperately. God loves you desperately. I don't know if you guys watch documentaries much, but there's a documentary about a guy named Jimmy Levine, and he is a music producer, and he has produced a ton of great things. He's produced U2, he's produced John Lennon. He was one of the founding people behind the TV show American Idol when it was actually good and when it was relevant. And Jimmy started in the music business as a young teenager. And he started as an intern. And one day his boss called him. And his boss said, hey, I need you to come in today and move from an intern to a technician. And it was a big promotion. It was a big deal. People wait their whole lives to become the technician, to actually get involved in producing. And he tells his boss right away, I can't do it because it's a Sunday and because it's my family goes to Mass on Sundays, so there's no way I can do that. And the boss said, listen, I'm telling you, you're not going to want to miss this opportunity. You need to make sure that you make it happen. And so Jimmy makes it happen. He shows up to the studio, and within a few minutes of being in the studio, John Lennon walks into the room. Now, if you're not familiar with music, not familiar with history, John Lennon is one of the Beatles, one of the greatest songwriters in the history of the world. And John Lennon was looking at Jimmy, a punk teenage kid, and saying, I want you to produce my record. Now they ask him on this documentary, they say, why weren't you afraid? Because most teenagers would be afraid. And he said, I don't know. I just had this confidence that I could do what I was asked to do. And he said, I think it comes back to the way that my dad used to talk to me. My dad would always tell me as a kid that whenever I walked into the room, I just made the room better. And because my dad believed in me, I wasn't afraid of what John Lennon thought of me. I just knew I could make the room better. I knew I could make this album better. He had a confidence that he didn't deserve to have this confidence. And yet he had it. Why? Because of the love of a father. And I just want to ask you, do you truly believe that when God looks at you, he says, you know what, every time you walk into the room, you make the room better. I love you. Like I know you got some flaws, I know you got some issues, I know you messed up a time or two, but when God looks at you, does he say, man, that's my kid? Walk into the room with confidence. Walk into the room and understand that you make the room better. Why? Because you deserve? No, it's because God loves you. And when you receive the love of a father, it gives you the confidence to say, what can man do to me? I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of an opinion. I'm not afraid of a situation because my Heavenly Father loves me. And when you receive that perfect love, what does it do? It drives out fear. John goes on to say, I want to cover one more verse. He goes on to say in 4:19, 1 John 4:19, he says, we love because he first loved us. And I wanted to include that this morning because this is something that you need to understand in your life where there are broken relationships, where there is fighting, where there is freezing, where there is fleeing. You need to understand it is a result of you not receiving the perfect love of God. And when you understand that and humble yourself enough to say, hey, I've got some fears. The reason I'm not closer with that person is because I'm afraid of intimacy. Or the reason I'm not closer to that person is because I'm afraid of letting go of control. Or the reason I'm not closer to that person is because I'm afraid of losing something. And I just don't want to get close to people because they may leave me. Whatever it is that's causing you separation in your relationships, understand that the answer is God's love. And until you allow God to love you, you will not be able to perfectly love other people. Why? Because God loved us first so that we could love one another. And perfect love casts out fear. So here's your big idea for today. It's simply this: overcoming fear begins with embracing God's love. Overcoming fear begins with embracing God's love. And this is going to be hard for some of you that have been in church for a long time to truly get, because in your mind you say, yeah, I love God. Of course I love God. I'm a Christian. I go to church some weeks, most weeks. Yeah, I love God, but don't think about, do you love God? Think about how you treat other people. And do you treat people with fight? Do you freeze? Or do you flight? There is a deep-seated cause of loss, a fear of loss. And we don't know exactly where this came from. Maybe for you it came from the fact that you were raised in a household where your parents fought all the time. And that instability caused you to say, I just don't like this, and so I'm just going to avoid confrontation. It's just too hard to deal with. Or maybe you grew up in a household where your parents divorced. And so now it's just inside you that says, hey, when life gets hard, I just run the other way because it's just too difficult, and I'm just afraid, and I don't want to get hurt, so I'll just leave. Or maybe you grew up in a household where your parents just never talked about issues. And so when conflict comes up, you just freeze and say, I don't know how to deal with this. It's just too tough. The answer, do you really believe this? Do you really believe the scripture that the answer for all of that is to receive the love of God? Perfect love drives out fear. John Newton is a guy that you may not be familiar with, but you all know the song that he wrote. John Newton was an incredibly wicked man. And when I say he was a wicked man, it wasn't just that he had some sin issues. He was an incredibly wicked man. He did a lot of wicked things. And John Newton was on a ship. He actually was a slave trader for a good portion of his life. And John Newton was on a ship that had a storm that hit for 9 hours. And in the middle of the storm was so bad that the rest of the crew actually started having a Jonah moment. And they started saying, if you're not familiar with the story of Jonah, Jonah's on a boat. And the crew says, this guy has upset the gods. He's made God angry. That's why we're going through the storm. Let's throw Jonah overboard. And they actually have this Jonah moment where they say, they look at John Newton. And they say, I think he's the cause of this storm. Let's throw him overboard. And the entire crew over this 9 hours is praying and crying out to God, God save us because the storm was so bad. And John Newton was such a wicked man, it took him hours before he actually prayed to God. When he did finally pray to God, he simply said, I concluded my sins were too great to be forgiven. I waited with fear and impatience to receive my doom. He was such a wicked person that he literally, his prayer was, God, just kill me, just take me over because I deserve whatever you're going to give me. Well, John Newton didn't die that day. And because he didn't die that day, he went on to have God transform his life. He went on to write a song that, even if you don't know the name John Newton, it's a guarantee that you've heard this song at some point. The song title is Amazing Grace. And maybe you didn't know that Amazing Grace has a lot to do with fear, but I want to show you one of the lyrics from Amazing Grace. John Newton wrote, 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed.'" Grace of God is a gift that you do not deserve. And sometimes it's hard for us to receive love because we think, I don't deserve love. I'm afraid to receive love. What I deserve is punishment. What I deserve is for God to run away. What I deserve is God just to freeze and just ignore my problems. I don't deserve love. It is a common thought inside of us that we say, I've messed up so much. I don't deserve love. And what is grace? Well, grace is when God says, yeah, I know you don't deserve love. Here's the gift of love anyway. Literally, the cross of Jesus is taking your punishment and putting it on his son. It is a gift that we do not deserve. We got love when we deserve punishment. And for so many of us, fear is reigning supreme in our life, and we show that by trying to punish everyone else when we don't get our way. But the grace of God comes in, the love of God comes in, and it casts out punishment. There is no fear in love. There is no fear in love. There is no fear in love. Would you allow the amazing grace of God to come over you today? There is no fear in love. Here's today's win. Identify patterns of fear in your life. Do you fight, freeze, or flee? Pray and ask God to love you through the areas where you fear the most. Would you pray with me? And then we'll sing some amazing grace. God, thank you so much that you're not a God of fear. That you're a God of love. And God, right now, we just repent of allowing fear to cause us separation with you. Would you give us supernatural faith to believe that you have our best interests in mind? Would you give us supernatural belief to trust that you really do love us, mistakes and all? God, in the next few weeks as we wrestle with fear, would you soften our hearts, and would you cast out the fear that is so prominent in our hearts and our minds? In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net or find us on Facebook or Twitter.